Now, I've got two titles to this message. And I don't know which one fits you or which one fits the circumstance. But let me just sort of give a little bit of an idea of where I'm going for the next little bit with this message. A couple of Bible characters, if you will. One, for example, was David. Now, I know I said David, and David was a shepherd. David was a musician. David was also an adulterer. David also done some really bad things in his life. David was not a murderer, but he had a hit on somebody called Uriah the Hittite. So we think about David and we think how good David did. David done a lot of wrong. Psalm 51 is David's prayer of repentance, if you will, and David's desire to come back to God. A lot of times we think about David, we only think about five smooth stones and a guy named Goliath. David had a lot of challenges, folks. David had a lot of problems. We think about a guy by the name of Moses. Moses was a typology of Christ in the Old Testament because he was a deliverer that brought forth the children of Israel out of the bondage of Pharaoh, which is a typology of Satan in the Old Testament. So everybody's got a story. Regardless of who you are today, everybody has got some type of bondage. You know what I mean? Some type of baggage. Some type of background. Some type of things that oftentimes try to rear its old ugly head and kind of haunt you, if you will, because the devil's always reminding you of your past. But I heard Jensen Franklin say one time a couple of things. One is, he says, one of the reasons that the devil is always reminding you of your past is because he don't have no new material on you. Keep doing the good things that God has got you involved in now. So the scripture that came to my mind is here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want to just walk through that and read it and talk about it. There will be a part two to this message tonight. I already told Kathy this morning when I sent my stuff up to her, I said part one and part two. So you're going to get only a few little nuggets here this morning, and then I'm going to walk on into this later tonight. But when I think about this message this evening, or this morning rather, there's several things that come to my mind. And I'm gonna pick up on a few of those just in a few minutes. So if I was going to pick a title to this message today, there's probably three or four different titles I would pick. One would be Living in Victory. Boy, that sounds exciting, don't it? That we live in victory. Oh, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior. Living in victory. But in all reality, you nor I live in victory every single day of our life, in our mind, in our heart. But victory is always attainable through Jesus for us. Well, the second title that I would title this message is simply this: Finding My Strength in Him. Boy, that's a good title, ain't it? Finding My Strength in Him. In Him I live, I move, and I have my being. And I'm going to talk a lot about strength. I'm going to talk about that. I remember years ago, Brother Chris, myself, and a few others, we went down to Kannapolis. And anybody ever watched the Power Team? These guys that's got muscles as big as the thigh, or bigger than my leg, and they can crush bricks, and they can tear phone books in two. And you think, oh, wow, what strength they have. So we think about strength, we think about power. But the third title, if I was really going to try to nail down what I felt like that God put in my heart today, and I didn't give this to Kathy because I was a little bit afeared to, but I can tell you what I felt in my heart. I felt like I needed to talk to you today on this title. And I told Sherry, I said, I hope people don't take wrong what I'm getting ready to say. I would take a title, Stronger Than Hell. And the reason that I thought about that is because the Bible says, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And if you look back in the scripture, even before I read this text, if you look back in the scripture, because I thought about this in the book of Matthew, when Peter was there and Jesus was there in Matthew 16, and you know, they were there at Caesarea Philippi, and how that Jesus was there with his disciples, and there was a conversation going on about who Jesus was. Some said Elias, some said Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Jesus looked back at Peter and he said, but whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but it's been revealed unto you by my Father in heaven. And then he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. The church has somehow, again, succumb to this antiquated concept that God is a doting old grandfather sitting up on a throne somewhere with a great big white beard. But we do not see the, let me use it like this, let me see, because we don't see the aggressive side of God. We always think that God is love, he is. God is peace, he is. But the Bible said that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. Even the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak good of you. Everybody's not always going to do that. But all throughout the scripture, you can see that how that God is a militant God. That God, even in the Old Testament, when they went to battle, they went against all the ites in the battle, and all that God sent them to war and God sent them to battle. We don't see that side of God until we get the, I guess it's a mental capacity, I guess is what I'm looking at, the mental capacity as well as the spiritual capacity, that we're not overcome by hell, but we need to overcome hell. I say it like a country boy, don't I? We need to overcome hell, because the Bible says plainly in our text that the gate of hell shall not prevail against us. So we are in a spiritual warfare. I told the children in the small Sunday school class today, when Carter was teaching, we're teaching them Bible lessons in there and Bible scriptures in there, And he said it so fast I couldn't hardly understand him. He said, I got my Bible verse today. And we'll talk about that in a little bit out of the book of Ephesians 6. But God would have never prepared you and I to do spiritual warfare if he would have not have equipped us. Now, I'm only going to get through one part of this morning and try to follow along with me, because I'm going to go back to this scripture right here. Finding my strength in him. Now, here's what's been on my heart, my mind, is because without him, without Jesus living in your life, without Jesus living in my life, the Bible describes us as pretty weak individuals as it pertains to doing spiritual warfare against the enemy of our very soul. I'll walk through a lot of that this morning. Like I said, I won't get all this done today. There's no way I can. But we're gonna walk through it. So in this text today, this is what Paul says, this great apostle Paul. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I love the King James when I don't understand it. It is not expedient for me, doubtless in glory. I will come to vision and revelations of the Lord. I knew not a man in Christ above 14 years ago. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such an one caught up to the third heaven. He was called up into heaven. And then he says, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell you or tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And again, I'm not going to take the time to break all of this down. You can do that in your time. But Paul seen things in heaven that he couldn't even utter. God put his finger over Paul's lips and said, shh. I'm giving you this as a revelation. And as I give you this revelation, you'll see later in your ministry why I'm giving this revelation. He had a personal encounter with Jesus himself. I don't know what God told him when he was there. But Paul again says these words. He said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself. I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now, let me pause right there. If you go back into the book of Acts, when Paul was there and the viper bit him, they thought that Paul was a god. They thought that Paul was a supernatural god. The gods had come down from heaven. And Paul looks at this and he says, I cannot tell anybody what I've seen lest they be a Paul worshiper. They think that Paul's a god or something of that nature. So Paul was shown this, and God brought him up into this glory, that Paul brought him into the third heavens. God took him into the third heavens. God uttered things to him that he could not talk about. No doubt God had his hand on the Apostle Paul, even from the book of Acts, where that he was on the road to Damascus, and the Bible says that there shone a great light out of glory, a great light out of heaven, and it came down where Paul was at, and Paul heard a voice. The people with Paul did not hear the voice, but Paul and Jesus was having this conversation, and he called him and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, it's hard for you to kick against the bricks. And he says, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Paul had a religious experience by the law, but yet Paul had never had that encounter with Jesus Christ. And again, Paul, when he was caught up into the third heavens, he was given this revelation of God himself. Paul could have very, very easily, you know, Paul could have very easily become extremely egotistical. He could have strutted his stuff, like that turkey I got at my house that always puffs out and he always blows and he always walks and wobbles around and he's always poking out his chest and he's always letting everybody look at him. And Paul could have done that, but Paul did not do that. And I said that to say this, because even though Paul had these great revelations of the Spirit, Paul also knew the other side of who he was. And I said that to say this, as you look forward in this scripture in verse number 7, this is what took place. Paul said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now Paul said, if you look at this, lest I be exalted, lest he gets puffed up with pride, lest he think more of himself than he ought to. You know what I mean? I mean, it's good to have a self-image and it's good to have a good image of yourself, but we cannot exalt ourselves above God. You know what I'm saying? The devil got in trouble when he did that. So Paul said, even though I've been really, really spiritual, and even though I'm a really good man, and even though I've had these revelations, and even though I'm walking with Jesus, and even though I'm God's chosen vessel, which the Bible said that he is, Paul said in this verse of Scripture, in verse number 7, he said, and he says this, unless I should be exalted above measure, though through the abundance of revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. We don't like that part. Nobody does. And in this we see, and again, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. I have no idea. But we can see this again, how that Paul was given this thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan. Warfare. The devil. The devil shows up. And the Bible said that he come and he buffeted me. Or buffet me. I look this word buffet up. You know what it means? It means something like this. I'm going to put it in country boy lingo. I'm going to slap you upside of your head. Now I'll put it in a biblical context. It means to suffer a blow such as with your hand. In other words, every time that Paul began to go forward in his life, there was the devil in front of him and slapped him down. Every time in your life, in my life, we think about moving forward with God and moving in the Holy Ghost and moving forward in the church. I'm going to give you one of the best pieces of information I've ever given you in all of your life. If you're a child of God, you will never get out from under the buffet of the enemy. He will always be there to try to knock you down, hold you back, and to keep you from becoming everything that God wants you to be. Even throughout the New Testament, I remember reading about Peter, and I didn't look the scripture up. You can look it up sometime. But it says, as Peter was there, and how Jesus said, "Simon, Simon," he said that Satan has come to sift you. He's come to sift you as wheat. I looked that word up many years ago, and that word actually means to sift you as wheat. It actually means to knock you out of bounds, such as in a baseball game when you put a ball and the ball goes across the foul line. In baseball, the ball is void. It's no good. It didn't count. And that's what the enemy wants to do to every person looking at me right now, is to get you to the place that you think your life don't count. To get you to the place where it would seem as if your life don't matter. And we see this in the Word, how that the enemy said, the Lord said to Paul of how that Satan has come to buffet him. Now look at this. This is really strange right here. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." It's amazing. I told Sherry I was right. I think I told her riding down the road. I at least thought about it. That sometimes we think about storms. There's not a person in this room that likes storms. There's not a person in this room that likes hurricanes and lightning storms and wind storms and all that. But I was telling her this week, I said, you know, sometimes it may be God that sends the storm or allows the storm to come to get us refocused on Him and to understand that without Him, we cannot do anything at all. I don't know how you are, but I know how I am. In my life in the past, when I've had things that I've had to deal with, when I've had storms, when I've had situations in front of me, hey, you'll be skating along just fine, everything good, and there'll be a hiccup in the system, if you will. All of a sudden, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go, "Oh, God. Oh, I need your help now, God." I don't know how many times in my life, and I don't know things I've gone, and I've said this, Sister Betty, I've said to myself, "God, I need you now more than I've ever needed you in all my life." Only because I was in a current situation. And my current situation dictated my feelings of how I felt. And then I got to this place and I felt, "God, I really cannot do this. I need you. I need you to help me right now." Now, if you leave right now, you're going to miss the first part of this message. I need you right now. It's amazing when Paul was going through this, how that Paul's had these great revelations. Paul was a spiritual man. Paul had wrought great victories and so on and so forth. But yet, to me, it makes me realize that even though Paul was the man that Paul was, and Paul was this great apostle, watch this. This is very important. That Paul came to this place and sense of understanding how weak he really is in his flesh. The moment that you think you've got the tiger by the tail, you better be careful, because that tiger's fixing to bite you. The moment that you think that you can do this thing called Christianity on your own, and the moment that you think that you can live this life that you live on your own, separated outside of the grace of God, you better be careful, because you're setting yourself up for a great big fall. And we got to understand that. I don't know this, but I would think in my own heart, my own mind, how that Paul had this great revelation. You have this great man, the Apostle Paul, that had been caught up into the third heavens and had seen paradise, Brother Terry, wherever you're sitting at, and then had seen paradise, and then Paul had maybe even seen all the accolades of heaven. Paul might have even seen the streets of gold. I have no clue what all Paul said. Do you not know that that would be very, very easy to think of yourself more highly than you ought? Then all of a sudden, Paul comes back down to earth and Paul says, wow, what a ride that was. And then the first thing he does, the devil shows up. Anytime you're on a spiritual high, anytime you win a spiritual victory, I hate to be the one to have to tell you, look out, because the devil's out to kill, to steal, and destroy. And don't you think for a minute, after your great victory that you've got, that the enemy is not already plotting to destroy you and to pull you down. I remember my personal experiences when we would go to Charlotte Camp Meeting. Charlotte Camp Meeting was awesome. It was great. Great waves of glory. Great preaching. I mean, just great, great, great. Everywhere you turn, it was just hallelujah. It was a wonderful time. And if you never got to go to Charlotte Camp Meeting, I'm telling you what, it's the closest thing to heaven on this side of glory. I'm telling you. And somebody said, well, you're feeling pretty good about that. No, really, it was. I mean, it absolutely was an awesome experience with God that I cut my teeth on, so to speak. We'd go to Charlotte Camp Meeting, and I'm telling you what's the truth. Ray Hughes or Floyd Lahan or Culpepper or some of these guys would be preaching long. Larry Timmerman, some of these guys, some of them's already gone into glory. These guys would be preaching, and Brother Bob, you remember this. This is the only way I can explain it. It would be like the place was electrified. I mean, it was electricity in the air. There was Holy Ghost power in the air when you walked into that place. And I remember times that the glory of God would come. I don't know why I got off on this. But I remember the times when the glory of God would come by, and some of you been in those services, and the glory of God would start on the backside of that tabernacle, and like a wave, it would move all the way through that place, and you'd see the people shouting glory over here, and it wasn't orchestrated, friend. It was nothing more than the pure power of God, and it would fill that place, and people were shouting and praising God, magnifying God for His presence. We'd stay there all week. We would go on Sunday. We wouldn't leave till Sunday. I mean, we stayed there all week long. I went back to work at Pepsi on Monday, and everything in my life fell apart. I mean, I went from glory to the bottom. I did. I mean, I would go from this ecstatic power, glory to God. I could take the devil, take him to the wood pile and whoop him, and I'd feel good about it. Come on, somebody. But I tell you, something happened. Woodshed. Right? Take him to the woodshed. Wood pile. Woodshed. I don't know what it is. Hell, whatever. It don't matter. Anybody ever felt like you could just slap the devil? And then the next thing you happens in your life is these scriptures that Paul's talking about. These scriptures that Paul's talking about when you look at this. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and that it might depart from me. In other words, he just wanted to get out from under this thing of Satan, just tearing him up. And the Lord told him in verse number 9, he said, hey, looky here. It ain't going to happen. If I remove this thing from you, there's no telling what you'll do. There's no telling what will happen to you. So all of Paul's life, Paul was under this. And the only way I can say it is the way I feel it. He was under this demonic stronghold. Every time Paul turned around, it would be like the enemy was there to try to strangle him and try to buffet him, to try to knock him down. Anybody ever been there? Every time you go through life, it seems like that you take a few steps forward and you get back a few, knocked back three or four steps behind you. And you're going, what's wrong? I'm living right. I sound like I've had a little experience there, don't I? I'm living right. I'm doing what's right. What's going on in my life? searched my heart. I've searched my life. I don't know of anything in my life that shouldn't be there. Now, Paul gives us this great analogy of his own personal experience that we see here in these verses. And Paul actually breaks this up, and he says this in verse number 9 and 10. And he says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. My grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, Paul was saying, okay, Paul, listen. I know it don't look good right now. I know you're going through a struggle right now. I know the devil's buffeting you right now. But he says, but I've got you covered. My grace is enough. Now, we're jumping around on this, but we'll get there, I promise. By tonight, we'll get through all this. And he says to him, he says again, my grace is sufficient for thee. Watch this. For my strength, ain't that good? For my strength. Now, don't miss this, or you're going to miss this whole message. Two services, and you're going to miss this revival service we're having today. He says, and you look at this, and he says, my grace is sufficient, my grace is enough for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you are at your weakest moment, God is at His strongest. When you get to the place and I get to the place and we're saying, God, I can't take no more of this. I'm weak. I'm about to fall. I'm about to fold up. I don't know what else to do. God says, I got you in the perfect place. You finally got it, buddy. That you got yourself to an end of yourself so that I can finally do something in your life. When you think you're strong enough, when you can puff out your chest, when you can blow your own horn, look what I've done. You know what? You're getting God's glory. And God is a jealous God. And God says, hey, I'm only going to show up where I'm celebrated and not tolerated. And we look at this scripture and we find this. And Paul says, for my strength, God's strength, God's power is stronger. Watch this. Is stronger than hell in your life. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Why? Because Paul says, he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Watch this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. What Paul was saying is, so that the strength of God would be operative in my life, I'm just going to glorify God where I'm at. If I have to be weak, then He is strong. If I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, praise God, just let Jesus shine through me, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I have to do, even in mine infirmities. I'm weak, but He is strong. And He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's amazing to me because sometimes we have to just almost get to the place, Brother Beckner, of absolute, utter destruction before we recognize that we are so weak that we can't do it, that it's going to take the hand of God in our life. Listen close. I want the church to be a powerful church. I want the church to be like a floodgate flowing out of this church into the highways and the hedges. But here's the thing. If we think we can do it in our own strength, guess what? God's going to step back and say, go ahead. See what you can make of it. But it'll be far much more better when we embrace God and we invite God into this and we understand, Thomasville Church of God, how weak we really are without God. Don't you ever boast in what this flesh has done. Don't ever boast in the fact that, look at us. We got it made in the shade. We're the coolest cat in town. We're the best and only church that shines in Thomasville. Look at us. And God will pull the rug up from under you real, real fast. And sometimes God will even let you fall. Sometimes God will let you waller in your own stuff. You know what I mean? But it's when we turn our hearts towards Him and we understand, God, I need you. I know I'm weak. This next verse, verse number 10, again, Paul begins to say this very, very well. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in mine infirmities. I've never seen too many people celebrate the fact that Satan has come to buffet them. But Paul says, I'm going to do it for God's glory. Whatever we have to go through, whatever we have to do, let's keep a positive attitude and a good outlook and say, hey, if God be for me, then who can be against me? He says, therefore, I take pleasure. Boy, not too many people do that. Again, you got to come tonight to be able to follow me through this whole message. Okay? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. And he says, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. Paul was saying, in everything that I've ever went through, I'm going to go through some of those things this evening. In all these things that I've ever been through, Paul again says this, and he encapsulates it right here. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I may be weak in my flesh. Hey, Kathy, I got one verse of scripture I'm going to flip to really, really fast. And it's found over actually in the book of Romans chapter 7 verse 18. And this is really what Paul was saying with some other things that I'll get into. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Hey, I've often heard it said, if God can get it through you, God can get it to you. I've often heard that said. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, if God can trust you with what He's wanting to do in your life right now, He can get it to you. But what are you going to do with it? And he said, For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And Paul again in Romans 7, Paul was talking about the things that I would do, I do them not. The things that I should do, I don't do. And Paul was battling this thing called the flesh. We all do that, right? Paul came to this staggering realization that without Christ, he said, I cannot do anything at all. Now, this is the absolute truth. That's the first paragraph of my introduction to this message. We're going to dig in this a little bit tonight. You call it whatever you want to call it. Call it, you know, victory in Jesus, living in victory, finding my strength in Him, or the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Stand with me. I know you got to go. We'll come back. Father, we love you. And Lord, I just know I just barely tippy-toed off into this morning. I just barely got into it. But Lord, the thing that I realized today or this morning, God, is simply this. That without you, we cannot do anything at all. You said in your word that it's in Him that we live, we move, and we have our being. Father, let us as your people, the church, understand and realize that God, that we must have you. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit of God living in us every single day. Father, I pray for that one that might be here this morning that may be discouraged. I pray, God, that they may be weak in their flesh. Father, I'm not saying that's a bad thing today. I'm saying that's a good thing. Simply because, God, it is when they become weak in their flesh, it is, as Paul said, then I can become strong in you. It's not the flesh that glorifies. I cannot glory in the flesh. But I can glory in the fact that I know who Jesus is, because he said to the Apostle Paul, and he's saying to us today, that my grace is sufficient. That we have been made more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And Father, I pray for the strength of God, the power of God to reside and rest upon every person under the sound of my voice. Lord, let our strength be in you. Let my strength come from you. Our strength, our hope is in you, Lord. Now, God, I pray that you would strengthen your people. Strengthen the church. Encourage the church. Father God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.